Remaker's Mark, Episode 19, When Harry Met Sally. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Remaker's Mark. Here we are again in Episode 19, where we are discussing the romantic comedy classic, When Harry Met Sally. With me, as always, are my friends Andy Wicks. Andy, how are you doing tonight?
I am wonderful, thank you.
Good, good to hear. Jeremy Nilsson, how are you tonight?
I am wonderful.
Excellent. Good to hear. Lee Harlem Shake, how are you this fine evening?
Not too bad.
Good. Good to hear. And Mark Josting, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Good. My name is Kyle Delahunt. I will be your host here as usual on Remakers, Mark. And again, we are talking about When Harry Met Sally. But before we do so, I want to thank our friends at Modern Antics for their promotional consideration.
Modern Antics produces and markets hugely interesting events in bars and other cool places. Upcoming, the 5th Annual Minnesota Beard Off at First Avenue on Friday, April 18th, featuring music by Silverback Colony. Competition categories include full beard, long and short, partial beard, mustache, ladies beard, and freestyle. Proceeds from the Minnesota Beard Off benefit several local charities. Interested in other Modern Antics events? Check them out at modernantics.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Modern Antics.
All right, thanks again to Modern Antics. So now let's dive into When Harry Met Sally. Andy, do you want to talk a little bit about When Harry Met Sally and then our history or lack thereof with it?
I would love to. When Harry Met Sally is a 1989 American romantic comedy written by Nora Ephron and directed by Rob Reiner. It stars Billy Crystal as Harry and Meg Ryan as Sally, and follows the title characters from the first time they meet after graduating from college, just before sharing a cross-country drive, through 12 years or so of chance encounters in New York City. The film raises the question, can men and women ever just be friends? And advances many ideas about relationships that have become household concepts, such as those of the high-maintenance girlfriend or the transitional person. I think for our history, it goes a little bit like this.
None more history.
None more history.
Indeed. I think I've seen it before, but I don't remember when for the life of me. So I got nothing.
This is okay. For me, it's a familiar movie, but I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't have a special story or anything like that, and nobody did. So we're just going to keep on moving. We're going to keep on trucking. So thank you for the summary, Andy, and the ultra brief history. And that's appreciated.
Happy to be succinct.
So now... Yeah. As usual, in the first part of our Remaker's Mark episodes, we're going to be talking about how we would recast the movie. In When Harry Met Sally, there are four major roles that we're going to be recasting and one minor role. So starting us off is the major role of Jess. Jared, tell us about Jess.
I certainly will. Jess, who was originally played by Bruno Kirby, is Harry's confidant and friend. He, despite his independence, falls in love with Marie, played by Carrie Fisher, and they ultimately become a relationship alongside Harry and Sally. And throughout Harry's relationship with Sally, Jess offers wisdom, insight, and horrible, terrible Pictionary guesses.
He really is the worst.
It is.
It's baby awful. Fish mouth.
Baby fish mouth. Chose somebody who I find intensely funny, but I also think could play a very serious friend and kind of plays that buddy role pretty well. A little bit off kilter from Bruno Kirby originally, but I chose Ken Jeong.
I like that.
That's a good pick.
I just think that he would lend a great energy to that role, and he could be kind of that smarmy guy that thinks he's got it all together until he meets that one girl that sort of changes all that and can always be in Harry's ear to give him those little tidbits of advice, and right or wrong, good or bad, is always kind of there directing him and telling him how much of an idiot he is for not sealing the deal or whatever else that it comes along, so... That's my pick.
Lee and I were just talking about this this weekend, that I like Ken Jeong until I don't like him, and then I really don't like him. And I think he's been typecast in a lot of ways of kind of just like that super wacky character, and he's extraordinarily good at it. So yeah. I give him that. Like, I think it's understandable why he gets picked for those type of roles a lot. I'm just kind of growing tired of it. I think this would not be that necessarily, or I hope it wouldn't be that in the way it was written and hopefully the way it was performed. But I just have that, like, the moment I see him, he is a deterrent for me for a movie, not attractant, if you will. So yeah, but I think he could do it. I think, you know, again, with proper writing, I think it would be okay, but I'm just a little hesitant for that reason.
I would say I loathe him in the Hangover movies, and I think a lot of that is because it's the Hangover movies, but yeah. it is the same shtick over and over again. His character in Community has evolved and gained quite a bit of depth, even though he is kind of an auxiliary character in that show. But I think that he could bring a lot of that sort of same kind of wackiness, but put a lot more depth and heart into it in a role like this. Cause it needs it. He's not a one dimensional, the friend, even though this is kind of where that whole trope started, or one of the main movies that really brought that into mainstream rom-coms. But I think that he can lend the right balance of funny, but also endearing and not just a shallow punchline.
I would love to see who you're going to cast as Marie to match up with Ken Jeong.
It's going to be great. All right. Nice. Andy, on that note, who did you pick for your Jess?
Someone better than Ken Jeong. I went with my remake. One of my favorite aspects of the original version is the kind of fuddy-duddiness of Billy Crystal in relation especially to Meg Ryan. That he's just not a very handsome guy. So I tried to stick with that theme and to even further highlight that contrast, I wanted someone in the Jess role who would be pretty handsome, almost like the opposite of like hanging out with your ugly friend to make yourself look more attractive by comparison. I'm kind of going in the opposite route. I picked Max Greenfield, who is probably most well known as playing Schmidt on New Girl. Mining the New Girl show once again. He is very funny. His character has a definite style on that show, but I wouldn't want him to play Schmidt. I want him to play someone who is actually a successful writer, of some degree, maybe not a highly successful person, but like has some, you know, he's proud of what he's done. He actually has some seriousness to him, but still can obviously play those funny parts in this character, because this character definitely has funny parts, like the line, "You made a woman meow." Like, that's really funny stuff. So I thought Max Greenfield compared to my Harry would be a good choice for that. Nay, an excellent choice.
Nice. I like it. He also kind of annoys me, but he's supposed to in the new
He's supposed so to in the okay. new role, exactly. And he definitely plays that to a T. But he, I think, would be able to tone that down and go in a different direction while still being dashingly handsome.
There you go. All right. So, fair enough.
Kyle, who you got?
Well, one thing I just want to comment on in the role of Jess is I'm just so happy that Bruno Kirby got work.
Oh, man.
He is not like, you know, it's a very different time now where it seems like kind of that schlubby, pudgy, mustachioed guy. It just doesn't seem like he gets the credit that he once did. And I'm so happy that Bruno Kirby got as much work as he did back in the day, because he's a fine actor. He's okay, but he's not super hot at all, which is fine. But, you know, I just love that he was who he was back then and got work, probably thanks to Billy Crystal and their
I love that he got relationship.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
You know, there's an internet rumor, because I love those, that Billy Crystal both made Bruno Kirby's career and then destroyed it.
Aww. Interesting.
Did he yep. kill Bruno Kirby too?
No, something else did, but maybe.
Did Bruno Kirby die? Is he not alive?
Bruno Kirby is dead, yes.
He died in 2006.
Really? Yep. Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is why he hasn't been acting lately, Kyle. Nice work.
Well, it makes sense.
So what I was referring to was Billy Crystal killing his career, not him. But
yes.
That's the rumor.
Got it. Good to know.
Continue.
It's an important separation. So I kind of wanted to pay homage a bit to sort of the every guy-ish role. And I went with Ben Falcone. He's not super duper well known, but you will probably know him best from Bridesmaids. He ends up together with Melissa McCarthy. And they're actually married. They're
good.
Husband and wife. He's really funny. He was an identity thief. He's the motel clerk there that is really, really funny. He's in Enough Said. So he just looks like kind of a normal guy who just happens to be really, really funny. He's also in What to Expect When You're Expecting. I just think he's really, really funny, really talented. I think he can play that supporting role and be really interesting and really funny, but still be, you know, average in all the ways that's an awesome thing to be, you know. So I love his energy, and I think he would do a great job with that. In Bridesmaids, I don't know if you paid attention during the end credits. I mean, you kind of had to if you got there, but it's the scene where they're in bed and they're like doing suggestive things with the sandwich, and they're just, oh my God, it's just one of the, I don't know if I've ever laughed so hard as I have at that scene. Holy crap. So funny. So yeah.
He is very much a chameleon, depending, like, mm-hmm. he has a lot of different looks. I feel almost mm-hmm. just based entirely on his facial hair, but it really, I think, can make him appear chameleon-like.
Yeah. I can't remember what the name of the actor is off the top of my head, but the guy who is in A Serious Man and Boardwalk Empire, we've mentioned him before, Michael Stuhlbarg, maybe? He kind of reminds, like, I could see them playing brothers in some ways. Like, they're very similar kind of facial structure, but yeah. Yep, agreed. Very much chameleonic. So Ben Falcone was my guy. Mark, who did you pick for Jess?
Well, I was also looking for somebody that could be a normal sort of dude. I ended up going on the tall side of normal sort of dude, but I picked Chris O'Dowd.
And, okay.
We know him from Bridesmaids as well, where he plays the male lead, whose name I think is Rhodes. But he's also in This Is 40. He's in a bunch of stuff, and he's really funny, and he's just lovable. He's a guy that you want to give a hug.
Totally.
He does seem very nice.
Yeah. And he's a proponent of beards. He supports the facial hair. So,
well, then I love him dearly.
Mm-hmm. And
for all the right reasons. Yeah, he's a funny guy. I've enjoyed pretty much everything I've seen him in. I didn't love the It Crowd, but I thought he was really, really funny. And I have a hard time with some sitcom shtick. So I had a harder time with the shtick than I did with the show itself. But I thought he was great. He was really funny.
For this role, I kind of keyed in on one particular scene from This Is 40, where sort of near the end of the movie, where there's a big party. I believe it's a birthday party. He's in a conversation setting with Jason Segel's character, where Jason Segel's character is kind of saying all the right things to win the approval of a woman. And Chris O'Dowd's character is so exasperated. Like, every time Jason Segel's character says something, he just freaks out, and it's amazing and wonderful. And yeah. I kind of want that sort of exasperation in this role too. I think he would do it very, very well.
Nice. I like that.
All right. Lee, on to you.
Well, the thing I like about the character of Jess is that he's that sort of rough on the outside New Yorker, but deep down, you know, he really cares about his friend. So I wanted to find an actor who I've seen carries those same qualities. So I went with Steve Ranazzisi, who I really only know him from the TV show The League. He plays the character Kevin on that show, and he's hilarious. I maintain that it's a hilarious show.
That is a hilarious show.
Yeah. And he's that same kind of guy. He's almost a really funny best friend. And yet he's the only guy on the show that has, like, you know, a real heart. Everyone else is just kind of out for themselves, but he actually has a conscience on that show. And, yeah, I think he's a great, pick for this character.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a great description. That wraps that up very nicely.
Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. All right, in the role of Jess, originally played by Bruno Kirby, rest in peace, Bruno. Sorry, didn't know you were dead. Jer chose Ken Jeong. Andy chose Max Greenfield. I chose Ben Falcone. Mark chose Chris O'Dowd. And Lee chose Stephen Ranazzisi. Up next is the role of Marie, originally played by Carrie Fisher. Mark, tell us about Marie.
Indeedly doodly. Originally played by Carrie Fisher. Marie is the prototypical romantic comedy best friend, as much as When Harry Met Sally is a prototypical romantic comedy. She is quirky but lovable, sometimes punchy, but supportive, and always comes through in delivering the blueprints for the Empire's new death machine space station.
very important.
Very important. Key to have the right droids. For this role, I picked Kobe Smulders. We would know her mostly from the show How I Met Your Mother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But we also enjoy her in the recent Marvel movies where she plays Maria Hill, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And, oh, okay. Nice.
Know, yeah.
I like her a lot.
Yeah. She's great. And I like her for this role because, she's striking, but she can also be really weird. And that's great. And How I Met Your Mother is that kind of show where everybody is, you know, kind of weird and very flawed in the most hilarious ways. And I think that that's the perfect sort of atmosphere to bring into our remake here. So Kobe Smulders, ladies and gentlemen.
Nice. She also voices Wonder Woman in the Lego Movie.
Oh, nice.
Awesome. If you haven't seen the Lego Movie, you should go see it. It's fantastic. Whether you're a kid or an adult, you will love it equally if you have any sense of heart. No pressure.
Okay, Lee.
For Marie, I really loved how, you know, Carrie Fisher brought her own brand of, like, I don't know, I guess attitude is the only word I can think of.
Oh, wait. Look, I got one.
There is no point in my going out with someone I might really like if I met him at the right time, but who right now has no chance of being anything to me but a transitional man.
Okay, but don't wait too long. Remember what happened with David Warsaw? His wife left him and everyone said, give him some time, don't move in too fast. 6 months later, he was dead.
What are you saying? I should get married to someone right away in case he's about to die?
At least you could say you were married. I'm saying that the right man for you might be out there right now, and if you don't grab him, someone else will, and you'll have to spend the rest of your life knowing that someone else is married to your husband.
You know, she's very confident. She knows what she wants, and yet what she wants is something that she knows she can't have because she's at first dating a married guy for many, many years. But I wanted to find someone who had that same kind of confidence, so I went with Brie Larson, who I don't know her movie work all that well, but what I've seen her in have been guest appearances on different TV shows, and I've really liked what she does because she's very quick and witty and very funny, and she has a great sense of humor and has that great self-confidence that I was talking about. I think the first thing I saw her in was coincidentally two episodes of The League, where she played an au pair, and she also appeared in a few episodes of Community, which I've talked about at length, I think, on this podcast. So
I really enjoy her in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh,
she okay. She plays the rock star ex girlfriend.
Oh yeah,
Envy.
Okay,
yeah, and she's fantastic. This nice. Has the ice cold glare the whole time, and just the perfect snarky remarks.
Yep.
Yeah. Indeed. Nice. I like that.
Thanks, Andy. Who do you got?
Again, wanted someone who was almost not more attractive by comparison, but a different kind of attractiveness compared to, in this instance, the Sally character. Marie, like Lee mentioned, she spends most of the movie complaining about how her lover is never going to leave his wife after, I think, is over a span of 5+ years. So she is a very flawed character that gives you a sense of shallowness and a little bit of desperation, maybe. For that role, I chose the incomparable Kristen Bell. She is
nice,
drop dead gorgeous, And I think she would be able to play that always seeking, not maybe necessarily seeking her identity in a relationship with someone else, but maybe a little bit of that, because there is a scene when they're all at lunch and she like pulls out the Rolodex and starts going through all these men. That's kind of how she like seems to identify herself as being with someone else. And I think that Kristen Bell would nail that one. So for your consideration, Kristen Bell as Marie.
Nice. Good use of for your consideration.
Thank you.
Indeed. Yeah, that's a good pick. I like that a lot. I like the like sort of snooty aspect to it. And and Lee, you mentioned the like, sort of ongoing affair question mark that she was having that, you know, like never resulted in anything for her other than just being stressed out about the fact that it wasn't going anywhere and that he was never going to leave his wife. I totally forgot about that aspect of the character. And I can see Kristen doing that extraordinarily well.
She does that in a movie that you just mentioned a minute ago, Kyle. I forget the name of it.
The Lego Movie?
Lego Movie? That's the name of the movie.
Lego Movie. Oh.
Not the Lego Movie, but Enough Said.
Veronica Mars Movie.
Star Wars.
But Kristen Bell plays a character where she's a married woman that's sleeping with Greg Kinnear's character, and she doesn't seem to care about the moral implications of it at all, but instead still gives him advice on his love life and such while she's, you know, sleeping with him.
Interesting.
I also think Kristen Bell and Max Greenfield would make a dashing couple.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But you don't want them too dashing that they take away from the leads.
They're dashing, but a little bit one-dimensional, so I think they're perfect.
Ooh, nice. Brought it back around.
Good yes!
Work. Wow. I like it.
Jer, top yes. that.
Well, I was looking in the same vein as you guys for somebody that was going to play sort of that prototypical, somewhat self-obsessed best friend. That's got some of her own drama, her own history, her own issues that she's dealing with. But I also wanted somebody that was a little quirky, plays the best friend great, but could also keep up with Ken Jeong once they become a couple and make their own little energy. And I went with Lauren Graham, who I absolutely adore.
Nice.
I think that she is hilarious, and I think that she could play the neuroses of this character exceptionally well, and also be that person that is only finding value in being in a relationship with somebody else, even when that relationship is crumbling or not really existent. And then she meets this guy who his whole essence is in his independence, and they somehow find each other and meld together this bizarre, complete opposites sort of relationship that still somehow manages to survive. And all of that's happening on the outskirts of the main story. And I just think it would be a hilarious side story of the movie to see the two of them blossom and grow in their relationship. Lauren Graham, for your consideration.
Yeah, that's excellent. I'm really a huge fan of that pick. I haven't seen her in a lot of late. I don't watch
Parenthood.
Parenthood.
Parenthood, she's done some voiceover work too, I believe.
And she was Andrea Planby in News Radio, wasn't she?
Yes. Yes, she was.
That's the clincher for me.
Yep.
Harkening back.
And I would take a lot of that character into this role.
Yes.
My umbrage would be that she's a little bit older probably than most of the other actors that we're selecting.
Not the ones that I'm selecting. Ooh, I'm skewing. My whole cast is skewing a slight bit older than the original cast, which was, with the exception of Meg Ryan, who was late 20s, everybody else was sort of mid-30s vibe. And so I'm kind of going into kind of a late 30s. To me, this movie is about, especially Billy Crystal's character, he's at a point in his life where he's gone through a divorce. Everything's messy. He's becoming cynical and jaded. And he is kind of at that point where love isn't a thing that he cares about anymore. And him realizing that that's still something that exists and isn't important and all that. So I'm going a little bit more into the late 30s, close to 40 vibe for my cast.
Okay. Then I recant my umbrage.
Thank you.
You're just going to have it be more awkward as a college student as opposed to an older person, because it's finding the balance. Like Billy Crystal as a college person was interesting.
Yeah. Let's just comb his hair forward.
But it worked.
Puff out the sides more. Yep. Does anybody have some stick-on chops put on? So that's me, Lauren Graham, who I still think is dazzling. Agreed. Kyle, you are the final pick for Marie.
Indeed, I am. So I'm going to tie into my Jess pick in a big way. And, you know, I chose Ben Falcone for that, who is the husband of Melissa McCarthy. So I am picking Melissa McCarthy for the Marie role. I think she is a huge personality. And I think that oftentimes she has been cast of late to be that giant personality. And I would like for this to be reined in for her. I think she can be really strong, like Carrie Fisher was. I think she can be kind of that, like, acerbic. But I also think that she can be really sweet. I think it's somebody that you ultimately want to root for, but I don't want her to be the kind of leading, like, identity thief style, like where she was in Bridesmaids. Like, I don't want that big, but I think she can be a great personality and someone that you know you'd want to be friends with. Maybe sometimes you question a little bit in terms of their intensity, but overall, I just think she would be a great fit. And I would love to see the two of them working together, because when they have done so in the past, it's just been really, really wonderful.
Nice.
Thanks.
Wait, was she the daughter in Gilmore Girls?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Melissa McCarthy, she was the baker.
Yeah, she was the friend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, speaking of Lauren Graham, yeah, that's right. Yep, she, right? Baker, is that right?
She was caterer? Suki?
Caterer, yes. Suki, yep. You got it. So, for the role of Marie, originally played by Carrie Fisher, Mark went with Kobe Smulders. That is so almost a porn star name. If it was Kobe Smulders, like Smulders, man, so close.
Good job. It's like something from the meme of the moment of the John Travoltaizing your name.
Yeah. Mine was Mia Jerkson, by the way.
Clarby Smulders. Lee chose Brie Larson. Andy chose Kristen Bell. Jer chose Lauren Graham. And I chose Melissa McCarthy. So up next is the titular role of Harry. Lee, tell us about Harry.
Harry is the seemingly insensitive womanizer who insists that men and women can't be friends. However, when Sally enters, then re-enters his life, her unique perspective and ability to call him out on his misogyny helps him see things a bit differently.
What's so funny about that?
It's just so optimistic of you, Harry.
Well, you'd be amazed what falling madly in love can do for you.
Well, it's wonderful. It's nice to see you embracing life in this manner.
Yeah, plus, you know, you just get to a certain point where you get tired of the whole thing.
What whole thing?
The whole life of a single guy thing. Meet someone, you have the safe lunch, you decide you like each other enough to move on to dinner. You go dancing, you do the white man's overbite, go back to her place, you have sex, and the minute you're finished, you know what goes through your mind? How long do I have to lie here and hold her before I can get up and go home? Is 30 seconds enough?
That's what you're thinking. Is that true?
Sure. All men think that. How long do you like to be held afterwards? All night, right?
See, that's the problem. Somewhere between 30 seconds and all night is your problem.
I had a really hard time with this casting choice because I think a lot of the role of Harry Burns comes from Billy Crystal. I mean, I think on the page, the role wasn't as, I guess, meaty, I guess, as Billy Crystal made it. I think he brought a lot more to it than what was actually there. And, you know, of course, he's hilarious in it. So I wanted to find someone who could balance that that level of comedy and still have those great moments of empathy and pathos. So I went with Zach Braff, who I believe I've mentioned before, I think, in our Some Like It Hot episode. But
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a good pick.
I just have to mention Scrubs, and I think everybody understands where that came from. So yeah, Zach Braff.
That's a good pick. I haven't seen him in a lot of late. He kickstarted that movie, and I don't know where that is right now, like what the status of that is. But
I think Zach Braff fits a lot of the criteria that I've kind of put in my own head for this role, in that he has the comedic delivery and timing that Billy Crystal had. He's a little bit goofy looking, but not like, ugh. Like he can be handsome in certain lights. And he has that ability to, I think, control a scene. So I should have thought of him, but I didn't.
Nice. That's as good a vote as any.
Yeah. And there's even an episode of Scrubs where they reference When Harry Met Sally. It's actually a really funny episode. You should watch it.
Nice.
So, Kyle, I believe you're next.
Yeah, I went different for this role. I didn't have this in mind all the time. Usually we call out for feedback as far as people that are friends of ours on Facebook and Twitter, and we ask for, who you think would be good, and we'll talk about that in part two of our discussion here. But somebody mentioned something about, could they possibly be a same-sex couple? And I thought that was really interesting, and I thought, that's not a bad idea. I don't quite know how the relationship with Marie and Jess would work with that in mind, but I decided to go with a same-sex couple for Harry and Sally. And for the role of Harry, it could be Harry, it could be Harriet, I don't know, however you want to do it. I went with Maya Rudolph. She has a great energy. She can play both young and, like mid-30s. I think she could play a college kid as easily as she could a 30-something. She is acerbic in that you can see her having some of those same opinions on relationships as Billy Crystal did in the original, but ultimately she has a warmth to her that I think underlies everything that she is and that she does. So I just thought she would bring a really interesting energy to that role, and she's a lady, which is entirely different. So that's where I went with Maya Rudolph. That's my very different pick.
Fascinating pick.
Bold. It certainly would bring up a completely different sort of crux question of the movie, which in the original was, can men and women just be friends?
Right, right.
It would definitely change the plot.
I think it's still a viable question to be asked. Can two women, or two men for that matter, just be friends and not be romantically entangled if one of the, or both of them have romantic feelings, which is kind of what the underlying question is in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. It would definitely change things, but I think it could be done in a really interesting way and make it its own identity, its new version.
That double date scene in the restaurant would need a serious rewrite.
But. Yeah. Yeah. That's the only part that I'm not sure how it would work exactly, but yeah. And the only thing I would want to avoid is suddenly her realizing that she wants to be with women. I don't want it to be gets turned or something. That I don't think would be a good way to do it. I think it would have to come out from the get-go that she was a lesbian or is a lesbian. And I wouldn't want it to be suddenly they realize they're attracted to each other, because that often rings very untrue to me, even when done really well. So I would want to avoid that. But again, I haven't quite figured that out. Luckily, I don't have to write it. I'm just recasting it. So give me a break. Jared, how about you? Who did you pick for Harry?
Like I said, I went a little bit older, slightly. And so I went with somebody that I think can play a jaded, cynical person that still has a lot of heart very well. And I've liked him in just about everything I've seen him in. And that is Greg Kinnear.
Nice. Man, that's a good pick.
Especially I would reference Little Miss Sunshine. And then also going back a ways, back to the movie that he did fairly early on in his career with Jack Nicholson, All...
As Good as It Gets?
As Good as It Gets, not All That. that's a movie about...
No, she is All That.
Greg Kinnear.
Back when he was known
that.
As Freddie Prinze Jr.
Greg Kinnear is, in fact, All That. So I think he can bring a lot of depth and soul to his characters. Plus, I think he's just really funny. And we can go back to our Mystery Men episode and talk about just his great comedic presence as well. So Greg Kinnear is my pick.
Go back to that episode if you know the secret way to get there.
The secret code.
Yeah, exactly. That was our beta episode. It's out there somewhere. Indeed.
It was a closed beta episode.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great picture. I love that. I love the energy that he brings. I love the sort of, sarcasm to it. I love that I could totally see him having the beliefs that Billy Crystal espoused in the first one, but also see him coming around in equally well.
Exactly. And Andy, thou art next.
Yay! I art next. I had a hard time with this one, with this pick, because I couldn't figure out anybody who fit the criteria that I had in my mind until Lee said Zach Braff. And then the light bulb went off. That was a little late. However, I'm still very happy with my pick. My actor is relatively unknown. I went with Nelson Franklin, who is not...
Who's that?
Exactly.
you made that up.
I made him up. And he's just the perfect combination of quirky good looks and humor. And no, Nelson Franklin, I first found him actually on a series that I watched back on Hulu, a series that called Traffic Light that was only on for like 11 episodes or something. He was one of the main characters in this kind of buddy sitcom that I thought was really funny. He's been on New Girl, going back to that. He played, had a recurring character for 5 or 6 episodes. He was the character CeCe's kind of rebound boyfriend. He had a very small role in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, he's kind of one of those guys that you see him, you're like, oh, that guy. But he has this a little bit of a running thread through all of his characters. He's just kind of like the nice guy who finishes last, a little bit of a schlub, just kind of real dependable, but not really exciting. But I picked him because I think he is very funny. He's very smart and very witty, and he would be able to have that dialogue. He'd be able to hold up his end of the bargain in the dialogues. I think one of the strengths of this movie is the dialogue between Harry and Sally. And I think he could play it very flat. Billy Crystal played it initially just very flat, almost objective to a fault in his worldview. And I think that was one of the things that drove Sally so crazy. And I could see Nelson Franklin doing that. So my choice is not Zach Braff. It's Nelson Franklin.
Nice. Good description. I don't know who he is, but you did a good job of selling me on him.
Thank you. I also have some real estate I'd like to show you over here.
Intriguing. He sounds like like he makes stationery, Nelson Franklin.
he was on The Office.
So he's got that going for him.
He's had like a lot of small kind of recurring characters on a lot of things. Never really been a breakout star in anything that's lasted. But if you ever get a chance to find episodes of Traffic Light, I really did find the show really, really funny. It just didn't last more than, I think, 11 or 12 episodes or something.
Yeah, I remember that show. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it really was. It was an interesting concept. So, Mark, bring us home.
Okie dokie. Yeah, I was looking for many of the same things. I don't want somebody that's funny and likable, but you're not super, super handsome. Just don't want to get somebody that... You would see them and think, well, yeah, why wouldn't they just want to hook up right away? So we want to give them a bad personality too. And that's, why I picked Chris Pratt. no, he's a
good selling points.
He's a lovely fellow.
He's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, he's a very, very funny guy. And of course we know him from Parks and Recreation, but also the Lego Movie, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very excited for Guardians of the Galaxy,
whoop, whoop. Yeah.
In which he plays the lead character of Star-Lord.
Yep.
And
yeah, I'm super excited about that.
And for a When Harry Met Sally remake, I'd actually want him to, I guess, put on some weight. Because right now he's super cut because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. He looks like he could play like the super likable high school reunion guy in every movie. I meant to say that complimentary, uh-huh. in a complimentary fashion. Like he just has that look where he just looks so friendly. But I think that you could start with that and then have his personality undermine that. You know what I mean? Like Billy Crystal kind of had that look that just looked hard to start with. So I think if you had him start looking that way, like Chris Pratt does, and then all of a sudden the personality comes out, you're like, whoa, I don't like this guy very much. And then you kind of have him come around a little bit.
Yeah. Like, I think he could very easily play a character that, on first appearance, when you first see him, you think, okay, that, he's charming and, you know, he's a pretty good looking guy, but then starts to say things that, that are horribly offensive. And I think he would have a lot of fun with horribly offensive things. Like
so
many
you're
of
go
us.
With a racist Harry, as we are.
Yeah, pretty much.
Perfect. I like it.
Yeah.
I hate those Estonians. Something like that.
Oh, it's always the Estonians with you, Andy. What did they do to your people? don't answer that. All right. So in the role of Harry Burns, originally played by Billy Crystal, very capably, mind you, Lee chose Zach Braff. I chose Maya Rudolph. Jer chose Greg Kinnear. Andy chose Nelson Franklin. And Mark chose Chris Pratt. And last but not least is the role of Sally Albright. Andy, tell us about Sally.
Sally Albright is a type A goal-oriented woman who absolutely hates Harry Burns, mostly. Even up to the point where she falls in love with him. Spoiler! She enjoys writing, fake orgasms, having condiments on the side, and faceless sexual fantasies without much closure. Meg Ryan originally played Sally Albright, and she played her perfectly. And I don't think it would be foolish for anyone to try to replace her in this role, to try to recreate what Meg Ryan did. So I tried to do that anyway. I chose Anna Kendrick for this character. She is a... Hello? Hello, is anybody there?
Lovely.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay.
You just kept talking, so I was just waiting.
You're just, I'll breathe in. And anyway, thank you. She's been in a lot of things and has displayed a pretty quick wit in a lot of her characters. She was featured in Up in the Air and 50-50, had a small role in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World. That movie's come up a lot in this episode.
Yeah, because
it's so good.
It's so good.
It is.
So good. We've talked several times about when you think of an actor playing a role, you think of one particular scene of that character. For Sally Albright, I think for probably most of us, that scene is the fake orgasm scene. And trying to picture an actress doing that scene and doing it justice. And I think Anna Kendrick could do it pretty well. Just let that hang there for a second.
yeah.
But she's
that is the very much the very vocal elephant in this whole entire room.
Yeah. I also thought the pairing of her and Nelson Franklin would be kind of funny. Nelson Franklin is a very tall dude. Anna Kendrick, I think, is a pretty short lady. That discrepancy is kind of funny to me. As a very tall man who endured some very awkward, romantic relationships with very short ladies, mostly junior.
Sure.
Yeah. It was really just one romantic. Anyway.
But it was super awkward.
Oh my God. Can I tell the story actually?
Sure.
You can edit this out later. It's funny.
No, bring it on.
In a junior high dance, happened to be listening to this podcast. I apologize.
I'll bleep that out.
You used her last name.
How do you spell her last name?
Just starts with a Q. A junior high dance. I worked up the courage to ask to dance, but I was much, much taller than I was much taller than most people in junior high. She agreed, and I was like, awesome. But so, hey, let's make this a little less awkward. So she stood on the first step, and I was one step below her. So she was, 6 inches taller all of a sudden, and it worked out great. And I thought, hey, this is going pretty well. We're dancing to something. I don't know. Have You Seen Her by MC Hammer? Maybe. I don't know.
Yes. Wait, you were dancing while she was on a step?
So she was, yeah. So I'm on the, so the, our cafeteria, our cafetorium, if you will, was in a kind of a sunken pit. So you had to walk down like 6 steps to get to it. So she stood on, I was on the cafetorium floor and she was one step up. So height discrepancy was suddenly eliminated. And it was going great. And I was like, this is working great. I can't believe how great this is working. And then a teacher, I think it was Mr. Backstrom, walked by and literally did the and like tried to stop himself from laughing because he realized what he did. But it was too late. And suddenly Marie left. And I was just like, God damn it.
Did you slash his tires?
Oh, I was too chicken. Never dance with Marie again, that's for sure.
It's never too late, Andy. I mean, about the tire slashing.
What was the origin of the laugh? Was that it
like,
was
cause, just cause preposterous it was so funny
to be
looking
dancing
like this,
that way?
You know, she's Got standing it. On a step and I was on the floor. And so
A teacher laughs at insecure junior high.
Yeah, it was great. That's it was really fantastic. Great. So anyhow, I have a lot of, a lot of respect for that awkwardness of the height difference. Going back to my original point. So I think that would almost be a kind of funny dynamic to their relationship that there is that physical difference, but I think that they have kind of the comedic wit, the banter to go back and forth in these scenes where the dialogue is so important. So to summarize, Anna Kendrick, Nelson Franklin, movie magic.
Boom.
Boom.
That's a good pick.
Thank you very much.
Yep. She does an excellent type A.
Yeah. And then, thank you. A lot of her characters are that very buttoned up, type A kind of personalities, looking back, especially to Up in the Air. And I think in 50-50, we're two very almost buttoned up almost to the point of awkwardness. So Kyle, who you got?
Yes. So I wanted somebody that, you know, Meg Ryan was so America's sweetheart in this movie that it sort of really defined who she was for a long time. Then she got a really bad lip job and then everything changed. But for a long time there, she was really kind of that America's sweetheart role. And I wanted to find somebody that could sort of respect that and have that energy, but who was a little bit more well-rounded. Like you could see her having both those OCD tendencies, but also being someone that, you know, someone would still be attracted to in the same way. So I went with Elizabeth Banks from the Lego Movie, as well as Knocked Up. No, 40-Year-Old Virgin, Hunger Games. We've mentioned her several times. She's just fantastic. So when I think of, you know, bubbly actresses that aren't so bubbly as to be annoying, she is like the perfect top of that balanced list. She's really bubbly. She's really interesting. But she's a well-rounded individual at the same time. That's not all that she is. I just think she's really funny. I think she's one of the best comedic actresses around. I think she can be as funny as the Kristen Wiggs of the world. I think she just has to be given the chance to give a leading role. And I think she will definitely knock it out when she does get that opportunity. So yeah, Elizabeth Banks is who I went with.
I like that pick.
Nice.
Thank you.
She was a heavy consideration for me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do like her a lot. I like everything that she's done too.
Yeah, she was on my list.
Nice.
She's awesome. She's one that I feel like the more I look at her, like, oh yeah, I've seen her in this and I've seen her in this and I've seen her in this, but I never feel like she's really had a big role, like had the chance to really kind of get her place on that stage along with the Kristen Wiggs and the, you know, the other kind of heavy hitter comedic female actresses, which I think is too bad because I really do think she's quite funny.
Yeah. There's a movie that she is headlining called Walk of Shame that looks very much like that could be that opportunity. Mm. Like how 40-Year-Old Virgin was that for Steve Carell. I could see this being that for her, you know, and she's younger than Steve Carell, but you get the idea. Like people knew of him before, but then it's a leading role that she took and ran with it. So yeah, it looks pretty. The one trailer I've seen was really funny and very silly and slapstick, but yeah, I'm excited about that. So yeah, Mark, who did you pick for Sally?
Well, I picked the lovely Kate Mara.
Ooh, nice.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Yeah, and she's an up-and-comer, I feel. Her biggest role by far is in the current series, House of Cards. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I've seen almost none of her work, including House of Cards. I haven't seen one bit of it. really, I'm going with my gut on this pick, and my gut is going with Kate Mara. I think that, I just get this feel from her that she could be slightly uptight, but still having fun and adorable. So that's what I've got.
I like it. Yeah.
She's very good.
I trust your gut.
Go ahead.
Nope, go for it.
No, I was going to say she was in the first season of American Horror Story, and while that's not a very funny show, she did a really great job on it, so I do like her a lot.
That's what I was going to say, too. I really like her in that. That's the only thing I know her from.
Yep.
Yeah, she's been great in House of Cards. She was cast very well. And she's Rooney Mara's sister, yeah? Is that right? Yes. Are they related? I assume so.
Yep, older sister.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Man, that's crazy. Yep. She looks very young, but she can play older.
Yeah, and she is in her 30s.
I wouldn't have trouble. So.
Apparently, she is playing Sue Storm in the yet another Fantastic Four reboot.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
It's so much better than Jessica Alba?
Yeah, Jessica Alba.
No, Jessica Alba. Yep.
It doesn't matter.
And I couldn't remember if it was Alba or Beale.
The one thing that I have actually seen with Kate Mara is Tron Uprising, which is an excellent animated series, and she did a small voice part for that, but... that one's one to watch for you guys that care at all about animation.
Yeah, totally.
We're nerds.
Is Elijah Wood doing, was he the voice on that one? Am I remembering that right?
Beg your pardon?
Elijah Wood, does he voice the main character on that? Am I remembering that right?
Yes, he does.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
Okay, so Lee, take it away.
Well, I think there are actors that, like every great actor has like that one role that most people will think of, you know, that character when they think of that actor. And I think this is the one for Meg Ryan for me. Like, it will always be her role, and it's the one that I will always associate with her first. So I wanted to, I guess, kind of respect that. And the scene that I was thinking of, it was not the cafe scene, Andy, but it was...
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was the scene where, you know, she's crying about her ex-boyfriend getting married, and, you know, that she has this great balance of, you know, being genuinely sad, and yet she's able to do that in a funny way. Like, there's, she walks that really delicate line. And, I think Meg Ryan did that beautifully. So I picked an actress who I think could do that as well, because that was sort of the defining scene for me. And I went with Gillian Jacobs.
Nice.
Plays nice. Britta on Community. So
she's awesome.
She's very funny. She can be very serious. She's very good looking. I think everything that she can do is a great balance for this character.
That's a good call. I like nice. That a lot. That is just, that matches up really, really well.
Thanks.
It's so funny seeing, you know, she has that kind of bubbly aspect to her in Community. Not completely, but then, like, I think about sort of the recurring role that she's had on Comedy Bang Bang on the podcast, which is horrific and vile. And so, I mean, she can run both of those gamuts, which is awesome. I love that she can do that so well. So, yeah, I love it. It's a great pick.
Thanks. Jer, wrap it up.
I chose somebody that I thought would pair well with Greg Kinnear, firstly, and would have that same, like you guys have said, just that lovable charm to the character, and also show a lot of the heartache that she is dealing with or has dealt with. And so I went with Jennifer Garner, who I have always enjoyed. Pause for effect.
She was great in Maverick. No, wait, it's James Garner. Sorry.
She does seem like a natural inheritor for this role.
Mm-hmm.
And I've the times that she's played comedy, I have enjoyed her. She can be funny without being sort of in your face funny, like a lot of female comedians do. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I think it's just a more subtle, endearing kind of, I don't know, charming, I guess it was probably the best word. I think of Meg Ryan in Joe versus the Volcano and the two or three different characters she played in that, and just how just sort of off each one of them was in one particular way, but they were all so different. And just how you just want to smile when you're watching Meg Ryan. And that's kind of the same reaction I get when I watch Jennifer Garner in things, unless it's Alias. I don't necessarily smile at that one, but you know, a lot of her more romantic or comedic roles, you just want to smile along with her, and she has the greatest smile ever, just like Meg Ryan.
Yeah, you have to love Jennifer Garner.
Yep.
I think it is actually, it used to be a state thing, but now I think it is actually a federal law that you have to.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's true. Yep. I was not aware of that, but it makes good sense. Totally. I can totally see
it's
that.
It's part of Obamacare.
Yeah, elective coverage of Jennifer Garner happiness. Nice. Good one.
There's my bow.
That's a good lineup here. So for Sally Albright, originally played by Meg Ryan, these were awesome. Andy chose Anna Kendrick. I chose Elizabeth Banks. Mark chose Kate Mara. Lee chose Gillian Jacobs. Gillian, right?
Yep.
Not Gillian?
Correct.
Gillian Jacobs. And Jer chose Jennifer Garner. Man, that's a good run through. Nice. So those are the four major characters. And then we have one minor character, which is very minor, but very important. And that is the woman in the diner with the punchline. I feel like that's like an offshoot of Clue. I'll be the woman in the diner with the punchline. So a small but important role. The woman in the diner is responsible for uttering five simple words that have been considered one of the greatest movie quotes of all time. I'll have what she's having. I'm going to be totally honest here. I completely forgot to cast this. So as we were talking... I'm responsible for this. So as we were talking, I realized, oh, crap, I didn't cast this. And so I did a couple quick Google searches. I did a couple informed just guesses.
Meryl
and I came
Streep.
To I came to Meryl Streep. I'm totally serious. It's Meryl Streep.
I would have too. Yes.
Meryl Streep.
And the podcast is done.
I've been vindicated.
Yes, but the one caveat of this is that you can't see her in the background. You can't know that she's there. Right. It has to just pan to her, have her say that, and then pan away as if it was no big deal. Like if it was just Jane Doe there saying those five words, I'll have what she's having. But yep, Meryl Streep. It's got to be Meryl. It's just how it is.
And now our jobs are done. We finally cast Meryl Streep.
Exactly. We have officially cast Meryl. Yes. And all is right with the world. That felt good. That felt really good. I'm glad I got that out there. Oh my God. I can't wait to see the levels on the microphones during that part. The shouts of everybody going, especially Andy. Good stuff.
Especially Andy.
I tried to back away. Yes.
You did just fine. It's totally worth it. All right, so that wraps up the first half of our discussion of When Harry Met Sally. Up next is part two of that discussion, where we'll be discussing kind of film appreciation, what we enjoyed about When Harry Met Sally, as well as the tech and filmmaking changes that we would make to the movie in our remake. And that episode will be released on Monday, April 7th. If you'd like to find out more information about this podcast or any other podcast or blog on the Math is Hard Network, check us out at mathishard.net. You can also find show notes there where we link to the actors, actresses, movies, and just general information for each episode of Remakers Mark. So if you want to dive down a little bit further and find out more information about who we discussed here, that is the place to go. So, gentlemen, this was a great time as always. I appreciate your being here with me and appreciate your picks. So until the next time, may the Force be with you.
And also with you.